Positive Chats Podcast, and this morning we're going to be talking with Janita Pace about her book, The Healing Names of Jesus, Find Freedom from Depression and Anxiety. Good morning, Janita.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us this morning. Where do we find you this morning?
I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Colder than us.
We had snow yesterday, and today we don't have any. So that's kind of how we roll up here in Minneapolis.
Well, hopefully Minneapolis and Toledo will get some warm weather here soon. To stay, spring, we're waiting for you.
I agree.
Let's get to know Janita a little bit more. What do you do, and how'd you come to write this book?
Well, I'm a licensed professional counselor here in Minneapolis, and the journey to becoming a counselor was not one that I would have expected, but isn't that how God works? I became severely depressed in 2001 and actually had a suicide attempt at that time and ended up in the hospital. And through my process of healing, I really became convinced that it would be so important to combine the Bible with the psychological perspectives that are coming out just from the secular world. And so over time, I just started to believe that, wow, maybe God could use a broken vessel like me in this field. And I had told my therapist that, and he felt that was maybe a little ambitious, which I understood at the time. But, you know, it's amazing how God uses broken people. I think that's just how he does things. And so I was able to become a therapist. And this book is really the heart of what I wish I would have had when I was in that really dark time. You know, it's a tool that I wanted something that was really easy for people to use that are really in a dark place. And not just people that are in a really dark place, but even people who are just struggling day to day. Something that refreshes their soul and gives them the energy to keep going.
You know, what happened to you was very traumatic, sexually assaulted. Tell us about that experience and some of the things that you went through.
For me, it happened at school when I was in first grade by other students.
Wow.
And at the time, I felt really dirty and ashamed. And so I told the teacher, but the teacher decided to hide it from the school and from my parents. And at the time, I didn't know any better. So I felt that she was doing the right thing. So it was a process of learning that I wasn't dirty for that. That wasn't something I did that was shameful. It was something that happened to me. And then the process of beginning to go through the grief of that, the anger of that, and then come to a place where I did share it with my parents and with my family. And for anyone who's gone through it, I know that it's such a difficult road. There's so many emotions involved. And so that is one of the pieces covered in the book. Just how do you move forward when something terrible has happened to you by someone else? How do you grieve, and how do you go through the anger and all the emotions, and how do you work it out with God too? You know, how do we face God knowing that this is something that's happened to us? And so it's been healing to put it into perspective and hopefully be able to share and help other people.
It's happened in grade school, but I mean, that's something that I'm sure has affected you even to adulthood.
Early on, I think when I first began to process through it, I had a lot of anger, and I really wanted, my whole focus was just revenge. I just wanted to, quote, make it right. But that anger can really eat you alive, and it can really destroy you. And so I had to come to terms with the fact that it was too late to really get the justice that I think everybody wants. And instead I began on a journey of how do I sort out when the world isn't right, which I think is a deeper question for anyone who's been wronged that severely by someone else. What do we do when something happens? It's terrible and it's not right. And so I think for me as an adult, it began the process of reconciling, you know, my beliefs with God and coming to terms with that, how God could still love me and something like that could still happen to me. I think all of us go through something where we have to sit with that question. And so my hope is that this book will offer healing for people as they wrestle with things like that. How do we communicate with a God that we also know controls everything, and yet we go through difficult things? How does that work? And so that was a big piece of my depression and anxiety, is working through that struggle of when it seems like evil wins, and how do we break through that?
Depression has a wide scope of things that can fall under it. What were the different ways that you would define depression?
For me, depression involved you know, having a really dark perspective. And obviously I became suicidal and had a suicide attempt. So for me, it was just it became so heavy and such a sadness and the feeling that it would never end. And physical components too, like difficulty getting up, sleeping too much, fogginess. And so for me, that's what depression looked like. But as we all know, depression can take different forms for different people. I think one of the common elements I see is it's just such a deep emotional pain, and it becomes a desire that, you know, to just not wanting to live anymore. Even if people aren't suicidal, it can become just such a heaviness that people don't want to carry anymore. And so probably one of the common themes I see is just emotional pain. And it can be so overwhelming. And especially now with all that goes on in our world, I'm seeing it more and more.
Now, what about depression that just comes from sort of imbalance in our bodies?
That's one of the things I think that contributed to my depression, because I look back and it came so out of nowhere. So many people that I talk to, that's a big piece of it, is that the neurology is involved. And I think sometimes I've met Christians who are afraid to talk about medications or the fact that it could be partly their body. And so I continually try to help Christians embrace the idea that there's definitely a biological component that can take place. And so it's important for people to feel the freedom to pursue medications and getting the help they need, even just beyond the psychology and therapy. So I definitely am a proponent of people pursuing that angle as well.
And of course, there's, you know, counseling, there is prescription. Most importantly, there's God. And that's the focus of your book, The Healing mm-hmm. Names of Jesus, Find Freedom from Depression yeah. and Anxiety. Why did you call it The Healing Names of Jesus?
The beautiful thing about this book, like I said, is it's something I created, something that I wish I would have had in the darkest part of my depression. And I started to realize that the more real God became, the deeper my healing became. And that's when I noticed that God uses different metaphors in the Bible to bring himself to life in our world. And so it's great when you can start to dig into the physical things we can see, which when we attribute them to God, then we're reminded of things that he is like. And so what's beautiful is when I started this path, I thought, I hope I can come up with 31 metaphors and names of God. And by the end, we had so many, we had to narrow it down to 31, because he provides so many ways of understanding himself. And so each name, each metaphor is a different dimension of who he is. And most of them are things that you can see around you in your everyday world. And so the hope is that as you go through the book, God begins to really come alive to you just in even your physical world and your daily perspective. And that's kind of one of the main angles of the book.
Kind of set up in terms of days and names. Tell us more about why you set up the book the way you did.
Yeah, you know, when I was first depressed, and I still have days that are really hard, just because I'm a counselor doesn't mean I don't still struggle. I found that people were giving books that were chapter books, and I was too overwhelmed to read a chapter book. And so this book it's a day by day. It's just a few pages a day with Bible readings involved, and it's one name a day. And so I wanted, like I said, I wanted this resource to be something that even if you're so overwhelmed and you're emotionally, you know, heavy and don't feel like you can do much at all, that this book would be something that's easily accessible and hopefully very simple and yet very deep as well. And so each name, each day there's a name, Bible reading, and then there's practical tools and things that people can actually do at the end of every reading. So different journal activities, different physical exercises they can do to apply the material.
All right, as I'm looking through the different days and the names, I do not see the name healer.
You know, what's so beautiful is that the different dimensions all equal healer. So healer is kind of the overarching aspect of the book. But as you crawl into the idea of him being a healer, these are all the different ways he heals us. Like I said, with the sexual assault, every part of that process had a different emotion and a different angle. And I needed a different part of God in every one of those corners. And so what's so amazing is that he's so multidimensional, he's so big, that he provides all of these different aspects of himself. So whatever block we hit in our healing, he can show up in the way we need him to. And so that's why there's 31 different names. They all fall under the umbrella of him being the healer.
Yes, yes. Well, let's take a couple of the names in the days. Any of them stand out that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, man, you know, there's so many of them that I just cling to still. Probably one of them that has been most meaningful to me is the Son of Man, which I never really thought about why Jesus would call himself that, because what a strange thing to call yourself. But it was when I really started digging into it that I realized that he was determined to call himself a title to remind us all the time that he knows exactly what it's like to be human and to suffer. And he chose suffering. So here I go through my life and I'm not choosing to suffer. I just am suffering because of the world. But what an incredible God that he would actually choose it. That is something just beyond my comprehension, and that he would choose it so that he could understand us better. So that name would walk through how God actually experiences what we experience so that he can perfectly relate to it. So when we sit down and we talk with him, he knows what it's like. And I cling to that often, that I'm talking to a God that actually chose to come and suffer so that he could understand me better.
I'm looking through some of the names, see which one's kind of more intriguing. Day 15, artist. How does an artist be involved in healing?
The artist came about because I started to realize that in Ephesians 2:10, God calls us his masterpieces or his works of art. And it was when I realized that when you go to an art gallery, you don't expect the art to actually do anything. You know, you don't go and sit in front of a painting and wait for it to do some sort of comedy act or jump around. And it was the idea that God has created each of us. And we're so, because of who the artist is, we're masterpieces just as we are. And I think part of the problem with many Christians that have depression is that there's this feeling that I'm not doing enough. I'm not, you know, I should be joyful. I should be participating in the world, making it a better place. And sometimes then we begin to equate our worth with what we do, which can definitely cause depression if we don't feel we're doing enough. And so that name goes back to the idea that God is so in love with you because he created you. You are a piece of art. He loves to look at you. He loves to see you. You bring him joy by just the fact you exist. And so I think that name goes to the heart of our value, which is something that depression really tries to steal, is that we are valued just because we exist.
We're talking with Janita Pace. The book is The Healing Names of Jesus, Find Freedom from Depression and Anxiety. I would imagine day 17 is something that many of us, regardless of how we feel inside, that we've got to certainly look to the Lord of Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because that name wasn't on my original list. One thing I loved about this project is I had 31, and then as I began spending time with God, he shuffled some things around. Doesn't he always do that?
Yeah.
He changed it a bit. That was not one on my original list. And I went out for a walk to just process and pray during this, the journey of writing this book. And it was when I realized that God was showing me, you have to write about the fact that it's hard to stop, because I realized that a lot of times when my anxiety was still flaring up, it was my body saying, you're not resting enough. And so God showed me, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I created it. It's something that I want for my people. And so write about it. Okay. So yes, I think that God wants us to rest, which is not something I do well. It's hard for me to stop. And so I wrote that because as I've been working with more and more clients with anxiety, sometimes I ask them, well, let's write out your schedule. And when we write it out, then we realize, no wonder you have anxiety. Your anxiety is helping you right now. It's saying, too much, you know, you have to stop. And so God actually wanting us to take a day where we just relax and enjoy him. And until I really understood that, I didn't value that. So that name definitely came alive after we started the process of this book.
Well, how can we find rest in our mind? Especially I'm thinking, okay, I take some time to just, you know, relax and do nothing. That's when sometimes my mind starts to really go.
Right. One of the names addresses that, and it's one of the first ones because I knew that's a big piece of healing, and it's the Lion of Judah. One thing when I started studying lions for the book is that their whole job is to walk the perimeter of their family's territory and keep everybody safe. And so applying that to our mind, it's beginning to let the Lion of Judah walk the perimeter of your mind to keep lies out. And I love how the Bible talks about taking thoughts captive. That word's a very aggressive word. We take something captive. It's very like wrestle something down, you know, and hold it. And so the idea and the practice of taking time to wrestle our thoughts and let the Lion of Judah drive any lies away from it. I think it's something that we practice, that we do, but it definitely is a lot of work. But that's the beauty of the Lion of Judah. And sometimes I'll even pray to the lion, asking him, you know, Lion of Judah, please walk the perimeters of my mind and keep it safe from any lies, any worries that would try to attack me right now.
And another intriguing day in Word, day 28, Exorcist. Is that something mm-hmm. that we can still receive? Well, tell us more about that one.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that I underestimated growing up, I think every church is different, but we really didn't talk about Satan very much in the church that I grew up in. And also, I think you can spend too much time talking about him too. There's a balance. But I've had clients tell me that they're so ashamed that they're having these thoughts that are dark and they don't know where they're coming from inside of them. And it's a new idea that maybe it's not a thought that they're creating. Maybe it's a thought that they're being told by our enemy. And so it was a new idea too for me to realize that sometimes the thoughts that are coming to me are not my thoughts. Sometimes I think Satan is lying to us and trying to convince us of things that sound biblical, but they really aren't. They are not gospel. So part of that name is recognizing who our enemy is and not being afraid of him. We don't have to be afraid of him, but being wise of him and understanding that he wants us depressed. He wants us to not be able to function well. So I definitely think God still drives Satan out, even if he's not living in us. I think he actively wants to keep him away from us. And it's another piece of who he is, using his word, using the gospel to keep us safe from the enemy's lies.
And certainly the devil plays a part in one of the most evil mm-hmm. of evilest things that you went through, sexual abuse of a child. Tell us more how we deal with Satan and what he actually is trying to do with things like that.
I think the ultimate thing Satan wants is for those of us that are believers, he doesn't want us alive anymore. I think he wants to do whatever it takes to make us either to have us no longer in the world or to make it where we're so hurt and in pain that we draw away from God, who is the one who can heal us and rescue us. I think his whole aspect, his demeanor, his position is to do whatever it takes to make us question God. I think he's been doing that since Genesis.
Yep.
And that's what he did with Adam and Eve, is trying to convince them that God doesn't love you. He's not good. He's lying to you. And so I think a big piece of any challenge people face is having to look at, what do I really think about God? Does he love me or is he not kind? And I think that's really at the core of healing is, if God really does love you, if you really do experience the gospel freedom that he wants to give you, then it really is freedom. And that's really the core and the heartbeat of the book.
Thoughts of suicide. What would you say to someone that does have those thoughts?
Yeah, well, first, I don't want them to feel shame. I think that was a big piece of it for me, was I felt like Christians shouldn't have those thoughts. And when reality, it's not, why would we even question the fact that that would happen, because we're not living in our home yet. You know, we're here and this is not our final home. And so of course there's going to be times when of course we don't want to be here anymore. I would definitely tell them, look, I had suicidal thoughts, even attempted suicide. I know I'm a therapist. So if God can use this and me, then there is hope. Don't lose hope. And I would tell them, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We need help. And one of the names in there is Friend, which goes back to the story of the people who lowered the paralytic before Jesus. And it took four people. And so I would definitely say, reach out and find people to help you, because you can't do it alone. And Jesus needed help. In the garden, he asked for help. So if Jesus needs help, how much more do we need it? And so I would definitely tell them, reach out and get people around you to help you.
We've been chatting with Janita Pace. The book is The Healing Names of Jesus, Find Freedom from Depression and Anxiety. Janita, where can people get a copy of the book?
It's available on Amazon. It's also available at Barnes & Noble, and it's available online at Target and Walmart.
All right, and can people find you online?
They can. My website is 3riversmn, just spelled out, .com, 3riversmn.com.
And what will we find there?
There's information on the book, and then there is a free group guide. So I wanted to create community with this book. You can download it. Anyone can use it. But it's a way that people could meet and actually do the group in like a book study or a small group or even a church Bible study. So it's been neat to see some of those form, and that's available on my website.
Janita, it's been great chatting with you. I appreciate the book. Great setup here. Great concept. And hopefully praying that it will reach many and help many, many people.
Oh, it helps.
We have time to say a quick prayer for those that listening that might be going through depression and anxiety?
Yes, that would be wonderful. If I could go ahead and pray, that would be great.
Yes, please.
Lord, I just pray for every person listening today. You know, this is your project. This is your book. And Lord, I pray, I beg you for anyone who's listening, who's struggling, that they would find peace and hope today, that they would be able to reach out and really grasp the gospel that you love them and you want good things for them. And so, Jesus, I pray, and I pray for those who are trying to help someone they love. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom and insight. I hope that this book and this project is something that brings them so much hope and so much freedom. So God, we just thank you so much that you give us the outlets to have these conversations and you give us the resources. And so we pray that your mighty hand of peace and love and hope would just come into each person's lives who need it, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Janita Pace. The Healing Names of Jesus, Find Freedom from Depression and Anxiety. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.